everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we're talking about how a lab experiment goes poorly. No, we're not talking about The Fly 2 again, but what we have done this January is do all sequels. So, I don't know, it's like two for 2020, and we're wrapping it up with Gnaw Food of the Gods 2, which is not even remotely a sequel to Food of the Gods from the 70s. But here we are, picked by Brian. Possibly forced by Scott and I on this pick. But Brian, why
gently,
did you pick Gnaw?
Gently suggested.
Yeah. Gently massaged. Brian, why did you pick Gnaw Food of the Gods 2?
Because you guys told me to.
Okay, perfect. Do you have any regrets to listening to us?
No, not as... I mean, I have more fun this week than I did last week. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. I will start with this movie kicks off and there's this protest and the protester has the most obnoxious voice I've ever heard. And he's just storming around. He's like, no more rants. Like, whatever. It's like the nasaliest. And then he takes off his mask that he's wearing and he talks like a human being, but then he puts it back on and it's just, again, the worst voice.
See, and here's the thing. This movie is heroin. Because the first 5 minutes hit me so good and the rest of the movie, it also hit me good, but I just was trying to get it to hit me like the beginning did.
Well, let's get to what you're talking about in the beginning, because it's Bobby rules.
Dude, I actually made Jade rewatch it.
Bobby's the little boy.
So. Yeah.
Which is like, yes. Hey,
this is the scientist. I'd like you to get the fuck out of my room.
There's even a point where he's like, you too, you bitch.
Yeah, get out of here.
And I love all the forced perspective that we get in this movie about, because the very obviously lower budget than last week's flick. And it's just so funny because they're like, oh, how do we make this kid look gigantic? Let's put him in two sizes too small sweatsuit.
I've talked about this before, but Alamo Drafthouse does this really, really funny thing where they'll play weird movie clips and it's like, it's their way of saying, like, shut off your phones or we'll kick you out of here. And they use this clip all the time where it'll just be like, it'll just be like, get the fuck out of here. And it's like, your phone goes off, Bobby's going to get you the fuck out of here. every time I see them, I'm like, oh, man, Gnaw, Food of the Gods. We're going to talk about it soon on the show. And then I'm watching the movie and I'm like, oh, there's like two scenes in this movie that I remember and I forget everything else.
There's so much to remember in this.
I know. Well, it's so like we have Bobby. Bobby steals the show right out the gate.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the scientist who says that he's trying to cure cancer, but he's actually just trying to cure his own baldness. And while we're getting all of this exposition, his assistant is just apathetically throwing a dead dog into a tent.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
That's fucked up. Like, that scene is super fucked up. And I don't know why these last 2 weeks have been really hitting me hard with dogs in pain.
But this one was just like, it was just there. Like, this almost feels like it could be a sequel to last week's Fly 2 in a lot of ways. Like, just what happened at that lab a couple years after. But they came out the same year. You could never tell based on the special effects. But so this causes the protesters are constantly breaking into the lab and they're fucking up shit.
But they're never getting in trouble, which is just ridiculous.
Never.
And they suck.
We don't have enough evidence. Oh, they're awful. They're the worst.
I get it. You can't sneak the dog and monkey past security, so you can't smuggle them out of there. But you could definitely release them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just let them out of the cage and, you know, hopefully they can find their way. But to be like, oh, we can't get them past security. Let's leave this one chained down and this one in a tiny cage.
Yeah, for college students, they're not very smart.
Yeah.
No. But then they break into the lab a second time after not getting in trouble the first time. And this is where Alex, one of the protesters, finds out that her boyfriend has tested a growth serum on a rat, which Now, remind me, did he want to, or was that forced kind of forced upon him by his assistant? Because I remember
his assistant was pretty much, he was like, you have to do this.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the same at the same time, I kind of get where it's like, how do you test if it stops making things grow if you don't have something that's grown to test it on?
Yeah.
But whatever. So they are trying to break in and they knock over the cages and their reaction to, like, it's like watching like a Benny Hill or Mr. Bean bit, but they're just screaming about these cages falling over.
And that's the craziest fucking thing is, like, for being animal rights activists, they sure don't like rats. The rats are trying to save. They're like, oh, get them off me.
Not a rat, not a rat.
It's funny you called it a Benny Hill type deal because I woke up a little too late today. So this whole movie was watched 2x speed. That's exactly what it looked like.
One random joke, which later turned into, like, I think I brought it up 3 or 4 other times, but they're walking through the sewers trying to find the rat, and I just wrote down, but what about the RUSs? What, the rodents of unusual size? I don't think that they exist. But every time that they show the actual rat puppet, I'm convinced that it's just a leftover prop from The Princess Bride. Like, they just brought in the one prop that they had and threw it in a pool or whatever.
Man, I don't even care because when they are actually eating people, like the up close with that, yeah, it's just a puppet. It looks great. Like, I given it's great for what we like, for what I like. I don't want to put us both in, all three of us in there, but man, I had a blast watching this movie and I loved watching people get murdered. So,
I mean, well, that's the thing is, like, this movie didn't have the budget, but at least had the deaths in action to hold my entertainment, as opposed to last week. Like, Fly 2 was cooler special effects that they really didn't use enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, they saved until the final 10. But this one, they're peppering it through. One of the problems throughout most of this movie is that the acting is bad. But specifically, the actress who plays Alex has, like, the personality of the coat rack.
Yeah, like, she's so bad. And it sucks because she's absolutely my type because she's got dark hair and blue eyes. But I couldn't even appreciate and enjoy because she's just, like, literally a cardboard cutout of a human being.
She has just one mode with every line that she says, and it's monotone. Like, even her angry, she's just like, I can't believe you tested on those rats.
Well, also, like, does she even like the scientist boyfriend? Because half the time she's just, like, upset.
Yeah.
Now, I can't say that I had a lot of girlfriends in college, but maybe this is just what college girls are like, so.
Well, speaking of college, we get into some, there's one part in this movie that I feel like whoever wrote this movie thought that they had written just the funniest dialogue scene, and it's so out of place, and I just was confused by it, and it's the alopecia conversation that the one assistant has with the librarian.
Oh, that's the piece that you think is out of place in this movie?
I just think that they really thought that they had, like, a hilarious Seinfeld-level, like, conversation about nothing, and it was just a pointless conversation. I'm like, what the fuck is this scene in this movie?
Yeah.
Well, I think that we know for a fact that they knew what they had, right? They knew that they were making a schlocky B horror monster movie, you know, like giant animal monster movie. And if you have any question about watching the movie, if you have any question about what they thought they were doing, you meet the janitor.
Oh my God. Well, so the janitor who talks out of his mouth like he's doing a ventriloquist act the whole time, like he's got a smile. He's just like, hey, how you doing? Like,
that guy's my favorite character.
His cart that sounds exactly like rat squeaking.
Yeah.
So there's one scene before we meet the janitor, though, which is that the bad scientist assistant gets eaten. And they show the bloody skull face and they're talking to an exterminator and he's like, he was like the Loch Ness of rats in there.
Those exterminators are hilarious too. I think I wrote down, I can't believe they called us in to find one stupid rat. That's not a very good impression of him. I was trying to write it out, but he was just like the ultimate see him at a baseball game guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then, like, you have the janitor, Zeke, who gets killed right away, Like, you meet him and then he dies. And his death is so confusing.
I loved it. It's so funny because you know he's fucking dead. And the hero scientist is like, so-and-so, Zeke, what are you doing? You scared the crap out of me. And then it's just his back.
Yeah, the car's just slowly moving up to him, and then he just falls down, and it's just like a scratch down his back. Yeah. Like it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't look
to me.
Fatal. It does not look fatal.
Well, but you then, get eaten by a fucking giant rat, and you tell me if it's fatal.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get eaten. He got a splash.
Yeah, that's it.
Then we see a real death happen, which is when there's a guy having sex outside
yes!
of the school.
Oh, my God.
And then he's taking a piss while whistling La Cucaracha, which is... you know, we've already talked about this with Bloody Murder 2, but there's some really insensitive stuff going on whenever there's anyone that's remotely Hispanic and scream.
Hey, they did their research. They're like, all right, we did some culture research, and Mexicans are all named Carlos. They have big old fluffy mustaches, and their favorite song is La Cucaracha.
But he's doing La Cucaracha while taking a piss, so I thought that was supposed to be a dick joke, but it doesn't really read. Yeah. It doesn't.
I don't think I would call my dick the cockroach.
No. I love the fact that we have an HMN first on this show. A naked man ass chase scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully not the last.
No. Many, many, many more hopefully are in our future. So there's a scene that I completely forgot about. And then it started happening in the movie. And I was...
Oh, the scene, like, I was waiting for the whole time.
Oh my God. The giant sex scene.
It's the fucking on arugula scene. This is the whole reason that I was pushing for this to be...
I was very upset about it.
Why?
Why? Because that was the whole reason we watched it, and I didn't realize the gift that you guys sent me was the entirety of the scene.
The implication of that scene is really, really disturbing. Because
it's just like
all
giant
of your body,
big hands,
yeah,
the giant big hand, like rubbing the boob.
Yeah, that woman got paid to get her breasts rubbed by a giant animatronic hand, and I know she didn't get paid enough.
Oh, you say animatronic. That was a foam hand that you would wear at a sporting event. Like, and then the forced perspective shot of him just gigantic while she's tiny screaming is so ridiculous. It's such, like, if you watch nothing else from this movie, just watch Bobby saying, get the fuck out of my room, and watch the giant sex scene. So then they try to arrest our main scientist, Hamilton. And, like, you can't arrest Hamilton because there's a million things he hasn't done. But just you wait.
That is the dumbest fucking joke, and I love it. Oh, my God.
You have no clue how excited I was when I wrote that joke.
Man, I didn't think I'd ever be satisfied, Matt. But here I am.
Okay, so then we go to the evil scientist after Hamilton's been arrested.
Oh, and
evil
scientist.
He gets super cancer, and I wrote, that is some of the most trauma shit I've ever seen as far as that death goes. Because he's getting these giant tumors all over, and then he just falls down, and they come in so nonchalantly as he's just oozing green all over the floor.
And then Hamilton made an entire, like, fix-it drug or whatever.
Yeah.
And he spends it all on the super cancer.
Yeah. Just to
make and sure then he works. Never uses it.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to use it for Bobby, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
So we go to the giant opening of the sports complex, which, like, there's a... hopefully I'm not taking anyone's double feature here, but there's a little bit of a Jaws thing going here where, like, the head of the school's just like, we can't close the beaches. We've got the sports complex.
I was thinking more The Last Shark, you know, level.
Fair enough. Oh, yes. The true Jaws movie, The Last Shark. Yeah. But they kick off the sports complex with synchronized swimming, which is so weird to watch. And I'm so excited that the Summer Olympics are this year because I will watch the shit out of the synchronized swimming competition.
That's another HMN first, synchronized swimming scene. But you're missing Aunt Edna's national anthem right beforehand. It's so bad.
But yeah, so then I always remember this scene for some reason. I think it was in some random documentary about horror films where I own plenty that just would always show the footage of, like, the rats inside the pool. So it's like, there's a scene in a pool. I remember that distinctly. So the whole pool scene happens. They kill all the rats. And then the movie ends with Hamilton calling his friend who's watching over Bobby and being like, we've got to, I've got the solution. We could save Bobby. And she's like, Harry, he's more violent and bigger than ever before. And then he just muffles her to death, which it's like, give me something. Give me a head rip. Give me something really violent. And then he breaks out. But like, I don't know. They make it like it's a terrifying ending, but I feel like so a handsome. Gigantic child is going to be pretty easy to find and just shoot him with
it's
the serum
one.
That you need.
There's yeah. one. It's not like there are 35 monster rats like there were before.
That's what I mean. I'm just, well, they're talking about Bobby. Bobby busted loose and they're like, oh,
I
no.
know, but there were 35 of those rats.
That's true, too.
So, I mean, also, this movie is unofficially Star Wars canon because the cops are such bad shots that they're shooting people instead of rats. They're like
stormtroopers.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad I watched it. I'm also glad that because I was tempted to buy the DVD. I'm glad I didn't do that because it was about $35 used on Amazon.
Oh, like you had, or like, oh man, I could use this $35 better in my life. When it says Matt Kelly never.
I mean, I was looking at it and I was like, because I think it was that it wasn't streaming anywhere. We had to use some like weird website where
it was awful.
It was mirrored, like everything was reversed. And yeah. I was like, okay, but maybe. And then I looked at the prices. I was like, oh, I don't know how much I'm going to watch Gnaw Food of the Gods 2 beyond this.
Well, 2020 is the year that we start, or is the year that we're going to try to be better at not spending so much goddamn money to watch the stuff that we
bought. I know. But if I had the option to, I would have. Just it has to be immediate. Like if it was like $7 to rent on Prime, I probably would have paid.
Oh,
it.
I would have too, because yeah. the copy we found was garbage.
Well, and like, I don't know. I would say that if this was $15 or less, I would have bought the DVD. Like,
that's a lot of money for this movie.
It's definitely better. Have either of you seen the original Food of the Gods?
Yeah, that's how this whole thing came up.
This is more fun than the original Food of the
Gods.
Wait.
This is, I think, what happened. Brian watched Food of the Gods. He liked it because he likes 70s schlock horror. And then he got... He got strong-armed into being our third host and was like, well, I guess I have to pick only sequels, so nah, Food of the Gods 2, that's it.
That sounds like it would be right, but it's actually not the reason. So I saw it and I was like, we have to do this for the episode. And then I was researching more of the movie and found out that the original, they were just shooting mice close range with a paintball gun, and I was
what?
Like, I don't really want to watch that now again. And then I told you guys that, and you were like, well, we should watch two because there's a giant sex scene. So I was like, okay, I'll watch two.
I think that you might have had that conversation with your brother, because I sure don't remember you saying that they were shooting rats with paintballs.
No, the original Food of the Gods, they were shooting close range with like, that's why when they would shoot them, like the flips that they would do and like the twists and stuff, like, was genuine them getting shot.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. And back then, man, that was not animal cruelty, because they weren't shooting them with real guns and killing them. They were just right. calling them massive amount of pain.
Yeah. The 70s were wild, dude.
Yay for the drugs in the 70s. Boo to the animal cruelty.
No, I'm staying off topic. Have you guys seen, because I will post it if I have to, have you guys seen the SNL sketch with Tracy Morgan about the, like, the buddy dog movie?
No.
Where the dog, like, tries to fly a rocket, and it just keeps showing all the takes of, like, the rockets exploding with the dog. but every credit is Life is a Highway. If we have time between this and the next one, I'll have to send it to you.
Dude, I remember that one. Holy shit. All right. So, Brian, you get to go first because you were the one that picked this. What was your double feature for this?
My double feature, I have to explain it, but my double feature is An American Tale. And the
reason, you don't have to explain it. I already understand.
and the reason for that is this following story did not happen, but it could have. It very, very well could have happened. I could have been watching this with Jade, right? And then when he's playing the flute and the rats come, I'm like, you ever see the show Community? And she's like, no, I never seen the show Community. I'd be like, oh, there's an episode where Abed has to get a rat out of a vent, so he gets it out by singing the song from American Tale. And she's like, I don't know what American Tale is. I'm like, yeah, the song American Tale. Somewhere out out there. She's like, oh, you mean Five-O? I said, yeah, American Tail. She said, why are you calling it American Tail? No one calls it American Tail. I said, everyone calls it American Tail. She goes, no, everyone calls it Five-O. I said, anyway, we should watch that after this. She's like, okay, cool. It's better than this. And then we watch it.
All right. Scott, do you want to go next? Or
holy shit, how?
I mean, I have two choices, so I know that you can't take both
of them. Well, I have two choices as well, but I'll go with the one that I think would be a really good double feature. I think that Uninvited would be really fun.
Oh, no, never mind.
So I don't know why that came to mind when I was watching this. I mean, if you don't say the other one, I'll just mention it as like if you really want to do a triple feature. But yeah, I really think that Uninvited would be a fun double feature. You start with Food of the Gods 2, and then you do Killer Cat Monster.
Yeah. For me, I'll go with the first one that came to me, which was Graveyard Shift.
That was the other one that came to mind as well.
Yeah. So the other one that I had written down was, if you really want to go for what this movie's trying to be, you watch like Deadly Mantis or Killer Shrews or one of those like bad 50s giant monster movies. Mm-hmm. Graveyard Shift just feels like a perfect, like if you were to watch Food of the Gods 2 and then immediately follow it by Graveyard Shift, you could actually explain that like one of the rats got away and got into a mining town in Maine.
Like, yeah, I like that idea.
Actually Food of the Gods 3.
And you get really cool, you get a much better exterminator because it's played by, what's his name? Brad Dourif. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then you also get like, you get the one thing that I want from this movie that you don't get, which is like really good gory deaths versus just like a lot of off camera. And then someone's got like ketchup packets poured on them.
Whatever, man.
So what have you guys been watching that you want to promote? Brian, again, you go first. It's your pick.
I watched Don't Fuck with Cats on Netflix.
Oh,
I've been seeing a lot of people rave about this.
And one night we watched it. It is so good. It's about Luca Magnotta. The first episode is very unsettling to watch. And it just shows how, and I'm not alone, it just shows how a massive our generation is so fucked up, but loved animals so much, where like the first episode is about, you guys know Luca Magnotta, right? It's about the guy who went online killing cats. And it was like so unsettling to watch. But then towards the end, it was like, and just like we expected, he moved up to actual murder. And it was like a sigh of relief that moving forward, I was only going to have to watch about people dying and not animals. You know, I was like, oof, thank God that ride's over with. But man, it's good. It's good. Don't let anyone fool you. Like my friend was like, oh, they don't show anything. And yeah, they don't show it. Like they don't show them dying, but they show enough to make your heart just break in half.
That's coming from someone who doesn't even care about cats. So like,
I joke about that, but I love them, you know.
Yeah, it's like you love them, but you just don't want to have any of your own. It's like
exactly.
You can still like kids exactly and not want to have them in your house taking pisses in the corner.
Exactly.
What type of kids are you hanging out with? I mean, Bobby? Brian took a shit in our front lawn at one point.
I did. I shit all over our bathroom walls, too.
Was that when you had story. When you were getting off of the heroin?
No,
this was when he was a child.
Getting off
like
of heroin.
He was like three. Yeah. All right, Scott, how about you? What have you been watching you want to promote?
We kind of are in a lull right now because I didn't mention it, but we finished His Dark Materials, which is really good. We finished Mandalorian, which is the best Star Wars shit ever.
Oh, dude, such a good finale.
Oh, yeah.
Great final episode.
Yeah. And then we finished, we watched all of, did I mention that we watched Marvelous Mrs. Maisel season 3?
No, but I've heard nothing but good things. And that actually, say what you need to, but that ties in beautifully with what I've been watching.
Oh, no, I have nothing to say except for the fact that all three of those shows are wonderful. And all three of them were 8 episodes apiece. And that's all well and good, but when they're done, they're done. And you're like, fuck, what am I doing with my life? Actually getting stuff done at night, you know?
So a couple of weeks ago, we had my sister Julie on to promote her podcast, My Favorite Episode Of. And on a recent episode of My Favorite Episode Of, we had Joe from Fright School, who came and talked about the Gilmore Girls. And I was like, you know what? I don't hate this show based on like the one episode that I watched. So I hung out with my friend the other night and we watched 8 episodes of the Gilmore Girls. And then I've also started listening to the Gilmore Guys podcast. But what ties into Scott's pick is now that Gilmore Girls is over, they have a second show called the Maisel Goyles, which is them just doing the same thing they did with Gilmore Girls, where they just watch episodes of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and then just talk about it and break down like the fashion that they liked versus the fashion they didn't like and the pop culture references and all that stuff. So, yeah,
very interesting.
I'm officially a Gilmore Girls fan. The show is delightful.
Nice.
It's like, to describe it the same way Joe did, it's like a warm blanket on a cold winter day. Like, that's what the show just feels like. Because there's zero conflicts, and it's just a small town being quirky and small.
Oh, well, that actually sounds interesting to me.
I could care less about the actual Gilmore Girls, but, like, you know, Jackson, the produce guy, who's always fighting with the chef about how his produce is better than she says it is. Like, I want to know what happens with Jackson, who's only in an episode for 2 minutes every episode. Like, they do a great job of just making the side characters what you stay for, because you're like, I'm just getting little pieces of their life, but it's so interesting. Also, one episode involved a girl skanking to Time Bomb by Rancid.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very much a time capsule of the 2000s.
The Time Bomb capsule. That's not a funny joke.
It was funny when I was like sitting on the couch with my friend, like I'm like, is Rancid playing in the background? And she's like, I don't know. And then like they open up a door and there's like a girl behind the door skanking. And I was like, it's Rancid.
That's the most like unpunk thing I can think of is like, hey, our song is on Gilmore Girls.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you for listening to another lovely episode of Horror Movie Night. I thought it was lovely. It's a nice short. It's a bite-sized episode. But it's fine. Gnaw, Food of the Gods, Part 2. But fear not, because we will be back next week. And you know what next week is? It's the kickoff of an actual themed month. Bow, 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 bow.
What the fuck?
Bow, 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 bow. Oh, wait, no, it's not the kickoff to a theme month. Scott had one pick before we jumped into that theme month, which I've never seen, but Kyle swears that it is the wildest movie you could ever watch. So come by, check it out. Maybe we'll even ask Kyle if he wants to talk about it. I don't know. I'm saying things. I might cut this. Who knows? Anyway, goodbye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.